In Yandadiyoma, for this year, starting at the top of Membet, Amud Aleph. Amudar Ago, Mechavero, Liknei Shvi'it. Someone who restricts his friend from eating his possessions before Shvi'it. Inu Yoreid L'Toch Sadeu, then he's not allowed to, before Shvi'it, he's not allowed to go into his field. And he can't even eat from those fruits that are hanging out of his field, meaning into the Rishus HaRabim. Ubash Shvi'it, right, and on Shvi'it itself, I know you read the talks today, he still cannot go down into his field, but he's still allowed to eat, then he can't eat from those that lean into Rishus HaRabim. Another Eimenu Ma'achal, if he restricts himself from his friend from fruit, food prior to Shvi'it, then you're the Toksadeo, Beino Ochel Min HaPeirot. And he can't eat before Shvi'it, then he can't go into his field. He can go into his field, I'm sorry, but he cannot eat the fruit. So B'Shvi'it, you're the Ochel. On Shvi'it, he'll go in and he's able to eat. Alright, so now the distinction here in the Mishnah is the distinction that we've seen before, which is the distinction between Hana and Ma'achal. Right? Distinction between getting benefit and eating. What was the difference, right, between them? Like Mar said, is drisat regel, the ability to, right, to go in, enter his property, would be a difference between hana and ma'achal. So now, with shvi'it, what do we know about shvi'it? So there are two halachos of shvi'it, right? One halacha of shvi'it is what happens to all the peirot. All the peirot are hefker, right? They have kedushat shvi'it, and therefore they are hefker, they belong to anybody, anybody can eat them. What else do we know about property? Right? Does the land belong to you during Shvi'it? Does the land belong to you during Shvi'it?
It does belong to you.
To a certain extent.
Otherwise there would be no such thing as a heter mechira.
You do that prior, right?
The land belongs to you. Right, the fruits don't, but the land doesn't.
Right.
And I like to work the land, but but
if you have a tree in your field, so how do I get the fruits? If you know,
you have to open your gate. For the sign that says you can come in at a certain time.
Welcome, all pickers are welcome and
invited. Right. So very good. So that's the piece, right? The truth is that one is allowed. You're allowed to walk into your friend's field, into your friend's front yard, and take the fruit.
Otherwise, there's no
right. There's no token to them being
to the
being parasitic. So as you mina Torah. So that's Midaran. Right, so Minatorah, you can be poets together and go wherever you want. Minatorah, I could knock down your gate, can knock down your fence, and get whatever I want. Mishminei Tikkun Olam, as Rabbanon said, let's go, open up your gate, people walk, go in and make a reasonable efforts to open it up and let people in. But you're right in the fact that you still own the land. You still own the land, but people have drisat regel. They have rights to enter to get the fruit. Not like they've taken over ownership of the land, but they have rights to get to their fruit. Now, this person is osir hanoah on the other individual. Right. So, first of all,
there's the committees that would slip notes under people's doors saying, "Open your gates, or we're not responsible for."
So they have. And Shvi'it, if he is Oser him and Hana, right? So the question is, what can he be Oser him and Hana? You can only be Oser him and Hana on that which he owns, right? Or that which he already has. So now, once Shvi'it comes, does the Oser Hana continue into Shvi'it? Or then is it thrown out because on Shvi'it, right, you are, what? Minatoma required to be mapkir your fruits. So in the first step of Mishnah is Oser him and Hana. We see that number one is that it's still, if it's before Shvi'it, he can't, number one, go into the field, even on Shvi'it. And number two is, he can't eat the fruits, even on Shvi'it. Right? So that's one question. Number two is what he says, ma'achal, right there, when he comes to Shvi'it, he's allowed to eat the fruits, right? I'm sorry, he can't eat the fruits, but on Shvi'it, he can still walk into the field, because he didn't have usher enough. So you have to understand why it is that, if fruits are hefker on Shvi'it, how are you able to be oser them? And then your nether takes effect and blocks them from coming on Shvi'it. That's one. And number two is, why can't you walk into the field? The Torah enables you, or gives you the right hand to the field to get your fruits. How can this nether block you from going in during Shavuot? So those are the two problems in the Mishnah that we have to deal with. Because we've seen the two parts of the Mishnah. The first part of the Mishnah where he has Asur Zev Behana, we see even on Shavuot he's not allowed to enter the field, and he's not allowed to eat the fruits. Second half of the Mishnah where he asked him Bamakal, he said that you can't eat. Right there he said, what? You can't eat the fruits and trees, even though you can enter, because that's Maka on that Isra Hanos, you're allowed to enter the field. So that's what we have to discuss.
It doesn't say that you can't eat the fruits.
Oh, that's by Maka. Right, alright, so we have to discuss that, very good. But in the first case it says, you read the Toksadeo. And I know totes. You can only eat from those that hang out in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbah. Right? So you have to understand why. So that's good. Rabbi Shmuel, the Amrei Tavayim. Rabbi and Shmuel both say, alright, the Girsa here should read, Nichsei Alayich, right? If he says Nichsei Alayich, Lifnei Shvi Eat. Before Shvi Eat, he says Nichsei Alayich, Hen Yared Lutok Sadeo. Then you're not going to go into his field. And you're not allowed to eat from those that hang into Rosh Hashanah. Even though Shavuot comes, you're restricted both in entering his land and eating his fruits. If he took the nether on Shavuot, then you can't go into his field. But you can eat from those fruits that hang into Rosh Hashanah. That's Rav and Shmuel. Rav Yochanan Veresh Lokish, the Amrei Tavayo, they both say, Nichse Alayich, if he uses the term that my Nichasim should be restricted, if he says it before Shvit, and you read the Toksadeo, then on Shvit, he cannot go into his field. I'm sorry, before Shvit, he can't go into his field, but he knows Chomin Atot, and then he can't eat from those that hang into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. He gets Shvit, when Shvit comes, and you read the Toksadeo, he cannot go into his field. But he's allowed to eat those hanging to Rosh Hashanah Rabbah. So the difference between Rav and Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan Shlakish is on one issue right here. There's only one difference with them. They both agree that if you take a nether before Shvi'it, say Nichsei Alayich, then what? Then when Shvi'it comes, you cannot enter the field. You can't go into his field on Shvi'it. The only thing they disagree about is those fruits that hang into Rosh Hashanah Rabbah. Can you pick those fruits and eat them on Shavuot? Rav and Shmuel say no. But the Yochanan and Reish Lakish say yes. So Mari wants to know, what are they arguing about? Lema.
What did you just say?
The only difference between Rav and Shmuel.
Yeah.
And Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish is about fruits that hang into Rosh Hashanah Rabbah
right.
On Shavuot.
And Rav and Shmuel says what?
That Rav and Shmuel say you may not eat them. Right? On Shavuot. Ain't no ochel to no tot. And Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish says you can eat the notes. So the ochel who had the notes, you're about to eat those that hang into the
shizra. They both agree that you can't go into the field to pick fruits, even in Shias. But Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish said that you can eat the notes, those that hang out outside the field.
Rabbi Shmuel mentioned an extra iteration, which is that if you take the netter on Shvi'it, it doesn't take effect. There, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish don't address it, but the assumption is that they would agree to that point. The only point is to be taken before Shavuot, right? When Shavuot comes, what does Shavuot change about your nether? According to Rabbi Shmuel, nothing changes. According to Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, what changes is the fruits that are hanging over.
Did you right change the girsa?
Yes.
Okay, so where did you change the girsa? So you said, Aval ain't not talking about
nothing. No,
you're reading this. Oh, in Rabbi Shmuel, you're reading the second line that says Ve'im b'shvi'is nada.
Yeah.
That's not right. That's not Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish aren't addressing that.
It's a different one.
Although Rabbi Shmuel don't say that it doesn't take effect. They say in b'shvi'is nada ain't your. They still say ain't your the selves are there.
But you know what comes in the note, right? What? Oh, by Shvi'is, right? You're the tops there, but you can eat the notes, right? On Shvi'is. All right? So we're good so far. That's Machalos. Let's say this is what they are arguing about. The Rabbi Shmuel Savre Adam Oser Dover Shir Birshuto. Abilu Hishaka Yotza Mirshuto. Person can restrict something that's in his possession even when it leaves his possession. Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish
says that the issue remains in place even after it leaves his possession.
Exactly. Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish says that in Adam Oser Davar Shibishuto, like Sheyetze Mishuto. A person cannot restrict something that's in his possession today that will leave his possession later. All right, so this is the machlokas here according to this part of the Gemara. The Gemara now is assuming, we'll go with the Ran's interpretation, that Rabbi Shmuel or Rabbi Yochanan Zokas are trying to explain our Mishnah. All right, they're trying to explain what our Mishnah said. And then, based on the fact that they're trying to explain what our Mishnah said, right, then they are formulating their opinions, and then the Gemara comes up and says, this is the point, this is the machlokas between them. All right, so if we want to see, understand this, just for clarity's sake, that let's look in the Ran. The Ran, right across in the middle of the Mishnah, if you look where that Aleph is in Hagosabach, in the middle of the Mishnah, you see an Aleph in the middle of the Mishnah by Hagosabach?
Sure.
Right, so if you slide across to the Ran, over there it says, Umas Nisan. You see that?
Yeah.
The second word on that line, Umas Nisan. It says, Umas Nisan, Tri Dine Ktani. Our Mishnah, therefore, has two dinim. Reisha Ashmi Inan, the Reisha comes to teach us, Kevin Shi Diro Lifnei Shvi'it. Since he took the neder before Shvi'it, Chayol Nidre, his neder takes effect. Afilum ki mata Shvi'it, even when Shvi'is comes. The Sefer Shminan in the second half of the Mishnah comes to teach us the Im Shvi'is Nadar, if he takes the neder on Shvi'it, Nehidlo Chayol Nidre Ligabe Peiro Tehefker or Peiri Hefkera, then even though his neder will not take effect for the peros of Hefker, you know, the Gabi Arabi Yohai Chayot, but for the land, it does take effect. So that's how Rav and Shmuel are going to explain our Mishnah. Rav and Shmuel are coming to explain our Mishnah. They're going to say the Mishnah has two cases in it. One case is what? One case is that case where he took it before Shvi'it. If he takes the neder before Shvi'it, the neder stays in effect even into Shvi'it. Right? Therefore, what's going to be us on Shvi'it? Both the peros and the entrance to his property. Whereas if he takes the neder on Shvi'it itself, it's effective for not allowing him to enter your land, but it's not effective for what? It's not effective for the peros of Kera, that you're allowed to eat the no toast. Okay, that's how Rab and Shmuel are going to explain our Mishnah.
And presumably if someone else does not move their mouth, would go into the field and toss fruits to you, and you'd be able to eat them.
Should be okay, right. Okay, next, if you skip down to where we left off in the Gemara, see where we left off in the Gemara, Lishakayetse Mirshuto. Right, so if you go across in the Ran to the left right there where we finished up in the Gemara, it says, V'Rav Yochanan V'Reish Lakish. See that? V'Rav Yochanan V'Reish Lakish. You see that? Got it? V'Rav Yochanan V'Reish Lakish. Yifarshi La Techadik Tani. Then our Mishnah is really one big case. V'Kula Kishi Diru Lifnei Shvi'it. And our Mishnah is talking all about a case where he restricted it before Shvi'it. V'Kamar the Nedar Zesh Nei Didim Yishlo. This neder has two effects of it. And what's that? The lifnei shvi'it, the first half of the mission is talking about before shvi'it. Chayal nidre legamrei. Before shvi'it, the neder takes full effect. She'enu yored, right? Ve'enu ochel. That he's not allowed to go in, and he's not allowed to eat at all. So that explains the first mission. Why is he restricted in fruits and in entering the land? Because that's prior to shvi'it. But the second half, avashagia shvi'it, when Shvi'is comes, hutar miksato. A part of it goes away. Why does a part of it go away? Nehi deno yored b'tok sadeyu, mishum da'ara kati b'shutei kaima. Not allowed to enter his land because his land is still in his possession. Nevertheless, can you preach this time? Come on. Apilachi peri shoru. Da'ab Shvi'is nafke b'shutei. But the peros are okay because on Shvi'is, the peros leave his land. So okay, according to up until this point, right, the Ran is learning that Rav and Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shlomo and Rabbi Yochanan are explaining our Mishnah. And they have to explain why there's a difference between the first half of the Mishnah and the second half of the Mishnah. The first half of the Mishnah says you may not enter the land, and you may not eat the peros that are hanging into Rishus Rabin. Second half of the Mishnah says, yes, you may eat those fruits that are hanging into Rishus Rabin, but you may not still enter his land. So Rav and Shmuel are going to explain our Mishnah to be all, right, all having to do with what? All having to do...
They split it.
Right.
I'm sure you said that where the Mishnah said that's where he made the neder during Shvi'is itself.
Okay, good. So it's all during Shvi'is. According to Rabbi Shmuel, the whole thing is during Shvi'is. The question is, when did you take the neder? If you took the neder prior to Shvi'is, then the first half of the Mishnah is during Shvi'is, everything remains asur. Right, both the peros hefker and the land remain asur. Whereas the second half of the Mishnah is talking about where he both took the neder during Shvi's and it's during Shvi's. In that case, then the peirot are mutar, whereas the land is asur. That's how Rabbi Shmuel can explain our Mishnah. Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan explain our Mishnah as being, right, the same case. It's the exact same case. He took the neder before Shvi's, and now, but we're on Shvi's. Well, what's the first half? The first half of the Mishnah explaining what's the status prior to Shvi's coming. Prior to Shvi's, everything is a sword. Shvi's shows up. What's the status when Shvi's shows up? That the payrolls are mutar, and the land remains a sword. Okay, so that's the machlokus between them. That's what the Gemara's understanding so far, according to the Ran, is the Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan and Rishon are explaining our Mishnah, and the Chiddush in the Mishnah, according to each of them, is a different aspect. Okay, the Chiddush point of Rabbi Yochanan and Rishon is that even on Shvi'it, if you take the neder beforehand, the payrolls become hefker, and you're allowed to eat them. According to Rabbi Shmuel, it's the other way around. That only when you take the neder during Shvi'it does that happen, but if you take the neder before Shvi'it, it will remain also through Shvi'it. And what's the nekudas hamachlokus between them? That Gemara states is whether when Shvi'it comes, do the fruits that you aser become mutar? And what is that machlokus about? That's whether you can restrict something when it's in your possession, even from when it leaves your possession. Because it's clear that when Shvi'it comes, the payers become hefker. They're free, and they don't belong to you anymore. Right? If they don't belong to you anymore, how could you restrict them? So that's my focus. If they were yours, before Shvi'it showed up, they were your fruits. So if you restricted them before Shvi'it showed up, right, then does that carry on into Shvi'it? Rabbi Shmuel will say yes. Rabbi Yochanan and Rishlakish could say no.
Who would Rabbi Yochanan and Rishlakish say that after Shvi'it, then once the pair is...
No, but your nether was already chal. The chalas of nether was at a time when it didn't.
No, I'm asking a question. In other words, since there's already a time now where the payrolls are not usher to you after Shvi'it, do they become usher to you again?
No, because once they're released from the nether, they're out of their possession, then it's not right. Should be that way. I don't think if you bought them back, because you can't bring them back into your possession. Pair of Shvi'it remain hefker, and even when you eat them, they're Kedusha Shvi'it.
No, I mean the pair of Shvi'it. What about the pair of Shvi'it here?
Did they come back again, the pairs afterwards?
It depends how he
stated the nether. That's a good question. The question here sounds like he was talking about certain fruits, right, for a certain period of time. But you're right, if it's a permanent nether, that all fruits that come out of my field will be asur, then once they become his fruits again, then they would be asur again. Alright. So now the Gemara says v'tisbara. Does this make any sense? Let's focus. Umi ika lamanda amar. Don't worry, we're going to through this three times. Right? V'tisbara. Does this make any sense? Mi ika lamanda amar in adam osir davar shibishuto l'shayetzim yishibuto. Is there really such a issue where you can't answer something that's in your possession when it leaves your possession? I mean, the whole Gemara in the Darim has been full of cases that you can't ask for something, and even once it leaves your possession, it remains a sur. What was the only case where we actually happened to have a specific case where the Gemara was done, whether you meant, when you said Nixay Alayich, right, when you said Nixay Alayich, my possessions are restricted to you, there the Gemara decided, is Nixay important, meaning that it's my possessions, meaning when they leave your possession, it's mutar. Right? Or, did it mean Alayach means it's like Kodesh, and therefore you can't have it after it. That's the only place the Gemara actually was done, whether your nether was limited to when it was in your possession. But we find many other cases that even once it leaves your possession, it's still asur to the other person. Meaning, for instance, when you're traveling in the desert, that's the case we always bring up, and the person's restricted enough from you, he needs food, right? Can you hand him the food? The answer is no. Well, it's leaving your possession, right? Why can't you hand him the food? The only way you can do it is that you make it hefker, if you make it, you know, give it to a third party in between. Right? There are all these reasons, ways you have to get it to him, but your stuff remains a sort to him, even when it leaves your possession.
Right?
Because when you asked it, it was your stuff, and therefore you can remain a sort even when it leaves your possession. So how can Rabbi Shmuel be of an opinion? I mean, how can Rabbi Yochanan and Rishlakish be of an opinion that when it's in your possession, you're restricted, and all of a sudden when it leaves your possession, it's not, that it's not restricted. So Mar says, if that's the case, right, we said that our case here, that the Matlazin Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Yochanan Rishlakish is a case about Nechsei Alayich, right? So that if you say that their machlokas is really about this issue of whether this bigger issue, whether you can ask for something that's in your position until after your position, then argue in the lashon of nichasim elu. Right, we know from the Gemara earlier that nichsai, right, is a case where you can possibly only ask for it when it's in your possession and then when it leaves. So if their machlokas is not about the language he used, but rather about a general principle about whether you can ask for something after it leaves your possession, then why does the language matter at all? Don't use the language of nichsai alayach, use the language of nichasim elu, where everybody agrees, in the previous Gemaras, everybody agrees that once it leaves your possession, it's still asur. Then use that language, because there in the Kudas and Machlokas is not about how he said it, but rather about whether there's a principle, a general principle, can you ask for something once it leaves your possession. So Gemara says, the fact that they use Nichsei Alayach makes it seem much more obvious that the issue about is about the language and not about the actual din that's here. Okay?
Which would imply that if they said Nichsei, that they, based on what they do say, they would hold that if you said Nichsei Elu, they would agree that it remains also.
Nechasim Elu, right? If you use Nechasim Elu, that even Reish Lakish and Reopen would agree. Okay, so the fact that they don't argue about it, that's one. Bechosh came in Nechasai, and then certainly by the case of Nechasai, it would remain in your possession. If Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish would say by Nechasim Elu that you can't answer it once it leaves your possession, then certainly they would agree by Nechasai, which we know from the earlier Gemaras has that nuance to it, and certainly they would agree there. That's one question. Right, with two, and also we have another proof against this, Vahatanan. The mission, the Adam Osir, the Varsha Bishutel, the Shikasayim Tzurto. We have a mission that states explicitly that you can ask for something after it leaves your possession. What's that case? The Tanan. Homer Leaf, no. Konim Shatan Nani Leaf. Person says to his child, you may not get any benefit from me. Mace, if he dies, you're a Shenu. Then he can inherit him. Why? It's no longer his father's stuff. The Torah gave it to him. The Torah gives it to him. It's not his father's stuff. And therefore, he's not getting Hanoa from his father. Right? Whereas if his father says that you can't get benefit from me, bichayav ubamoto, can't get benefit from me both when I'm alive and when I'm dead, imkain, what? Imeis, lo yirashenu. If that's the case, he may not inherit him. So what do you see? When the father dies, is it his? No. And yet the father is still restricting after his death his possessions on his child. And just for the record, emulate lo yishenu doesn't literally mean he won't inherit it. He will inherit it because the Torah says he'll inherit it. So his father cannot block him from inheriting it. It just, once he inherits, he can't get enough from it. He's blocked from having enough from it. His father restricted him in an enough. Didn't restrict him from getting the possessions. The possessions are given to him by the Torah. The problem is here that it's once he gets the possessions, it's usher be'anah. So you see his father has the ability to usher him in enough for something that once it leaves his father's possession, it's now in his possession, and yet it's still restricted in enough. So now you have an explicit mission that says you can restrict something even after it leaves your possession. So how could Rabbi Yochanan and Shlokesh argue on such a general principle? I said, no, that mission is not a proof. Because he explicitly states that it will remain asur after it leaves his possession.
Right?
Because, therefore, unless you explicitly state it, we'll assume that it's not. State that it remains asur afterwards, we'll assume that it does not. It's not asur.
Right.
So any other language, you use will only restrict it during your, when it's in your possession or during your lifetime. If you explicitly state that it will work afterwards, then it will work, but you have to explicitly state it. If it's not, then that's not your intention. That's the way the Gemara is going to learn now. Alright, so based on that, so the Gemara rejects that kasha. Alright? Nevertheless, mikomakum kasha, the first kasha remains. If their machlokas is really about this general principle, then use the term nechasim elu. Why is their machlokas about nichsai alayich, which is the case where we know it could be that it's only also during in your possession and afterwards? Use a more general lashon of nechasim elu and argue there, because you're arguing about a principle, not about what the language is. You're arguing about a principle. So that question still remains. So now the Gemara is going to try to reinterpret what the machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Sakish and Rabbi Shmuel is. Right, we'll have this, and then after that, one more iteration until we get to the final. Alright, so here we go. It must be the fact that they didn't argue about Nechasim Elu means that nobody argues in the case of Nechasim Elu. That what? Once you say Nechasim Elu, then what? Then it's usur even after it leaves your possession. Now, so what has the Gemara done now? That's what they said. I mean, if you go back to their language says that we argue about Nechasai Alayach. So So why would you have thought otherwise? Right? So now the Gemara is shifting. Going to the Gemara, the Gemara is shifting gears here. Until now, we thought that the Machlokas Reb Kalkish and Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shmuel and Shmuel was about how to interpret the Mishnah. We were understanding their opinions about what? The Mishnah. At this point, the Gemara is leaving that behind and saying, no, by Nechasim Elu, right, now everyone can explain the Mishnah the same way. And when you say Nechasim Elu, it's also both in your possession and after your possession. Everybody can explain the Mishnah like we said before for Rav and Shmuel, that there are two parts to the Mishnah. If you say Nechasim Elu, if it was prior to Shvi'is, then when Shvi'is comes, right, you are both also to enter the land, and to take the payros. Even when Shvi'is comes, you'll be awesome in both. That's like Rav and Shmuel, like we tried to explain before. And the second half of the mission is the case where you say Nechasim Elu on Shvi'is. You say it on Shvi'is, that will only restrict your entering the land, but not the payros. So even Rabbi Yochanan and Shlomo are going to agree to that, because we have a case now where Rabbi Yochanan and Shlomo agree to Rav and Shmuel, and that's the case of Nechasim Elu. Right, so I mean, Nechasim Elu, that's how we'll explain the mission. Now, what is Rav and Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan and Shlomo's Machlokas? That's in another area, nothing to do with our Mishnah, which is the case of Nechsai Alayach. And that's the question here. And they're arguing about what does Nechsai Alayach mean. Alright, so now, as the Gemara says, that explains the Machlokas. Ki plige, Nechsai, when you say Nechsai. Rav and Shmuel sabrei loshna nechasim elu loshna Nechsai adam oser. That when the Nechasim Elu or Nechsai, both of the, they agree that after you make it osur, it remains osur even when it leaves your possession. Rabbi Yochanan Mishlofi Sabrei Nechsai Nechasim Elu Adam Oser, Nechsai in Adam Oser. Depending on what language you use. The Machlokas here is simply about the language of Nechsai Alayach. What does it mean? When you say Nechsai, instead of saying Nechasim Elu, you didn't say these possessions, then you say Nechsai. When you use the possessive form, what's the meaning of the possessive form? According to Rav Shmuel, makes no difference that he used Nechsai. Whereas Rav Yochanan Mishlofi say, well, the fact that he changed to Nechsai and uses the possessive form has an impact that once it leaves your possession, it's no longer, what? It's no longer
We learned that previously it seems like there's any negative. Very good, next question in the Gemara, exactly.
Do we really have such an opinion that does not differentiate between Nechasim Elu and Nechsai? As we're suggesting in Rav and Shmuel now, we're suggesting that they have no difference. And Shmuel just asked the question, wasn't that the whole point of the Gemara above, that when you say Nechsai, it has some impact? By using the possessive form, it has an impact. So the Gemara says, but it's not. Homer lechavero koneim letoch beitcha, shani nechnas, sadcho shani lokeach. But I am taking a nether that I will not enter your house. I will not go into this field that I will if he dies or he sells it to someone else, mutar. Because what did he specifically say? He said your field and your house. So then, excuse me, when it's no longer your house and your field, no problem. But if he says something zu sheni lokeach, he says this house or this field, irrespective of who owns it, asur. If he dies or he sells it to someone else, then it still remains asur. Why? Because in the second half of the Mishnah, he used the generic term, this field and this house. Didn't show who, it had no relevance to whose possession it was in. It sounds like Nechasim Elu. In Nechasim Elu, then what? It remains even after it's not in your possession. But in the first half, what did he say? He said Beitcha and Sadcha. So you see what? That he identified it as your field and your house. Well, he identified it based on your possession, then when it goes out of your possession, it's mutar. Uh-huh. So that differentiation should apply to Nechasim Elu, where he makes a generic statement about the possessions, versus Nechsai, which are my possessions, where he shows that the ownership is relevant. When the ownership is relevant, then when the ownership goes away, it's not, right? It's not Osur anymore. So everybody has to agree to this Mishnah. So how can you have Rav and Shmuel saying what? Rav and Shmuel saying that there's no difference between Nechasim Elu and Nechsai. That's just not true. So now the Gemara comes up with our conclusion. Here we go. Final. Hela ki amre. This is going to love this. There's no machlokas between anybody. There's three different cases here. Ki amre, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shlokesh, Nechsai. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shlokesh's opinion was stated about Nechsai. Rab Ushmuel ben Yochasim Elu. Right, so very good, right? So he's going back, and he's saying that we changed the gear so originally in Rab Ushmuel to read Nechsai, right? Because otherwise, what was the Habamino of the Gemara, right? Meaning that if Rab Ushmuel originally said Nechasim Elu, then you could have already gotten to this conclusion. So the Bach rereads their original Girsa to read Nechsai Elu, that Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yochanan had the same Lashon. And now here, when the Gemara comes back and makes this Ukimta, it says that Rabbi Shmuel should read Nechasim Elu, that's an Ukimta in the Mishnah, but that's not what it originally said. Because had it originally said this, the Gemara could have had an easy solution and said this up front.
It would have been a hundred years before.
Right, exactly. So I think that the Bach amends the Girsa to read that way in order that it makes any sense. Right, exactly. Otherwise, it makes no sense. But in the conclusion of the Gemara, you might want to read Nechasim Elu over there. All right, so Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yochanan are saying in the case of Nechsai, Rabbi and Shmuel are saying in the case of Nechasim Elu below Pligei. They do not argue. So now we'll explain, right? Now we can explain it. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yochanan are talking about a case where he took a neder prior to Shvi'it, and he said, Nechsai, my possessions. That means when Shvi'it comes, what happens to the Peros? The Peros leave your possession, and therefore they are mutar to take. But the field remains in your possession, and therefore you cannot go into the field. Whereas Rabbi Shmuel is talking about Nechasim Elu. Nechasim Elu means whether it's in my possession or when it leaves my possession. And therefore what? Therefore, even when Shvi'is comes, you may not take the fruits because they've left my possession, but they are still asur based on the neder that I took prior to Shvi'is. And therefore, according to Rabbi Shmuel, you may not enter the field and you may not take the fruits when Shvi'is comes.
And everyone would agree that in Shvi'is, since the pears don't belong to you.
So then our Mishnah will be like,
the
Mishnah is not being addressed in either case by Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan, but the Mishnah will explain, like we did above, that it's a case of whether you took the neder before Shvi'is or after Shvi'is. The case where he said Nechasimil, if he takes the neder before Shvi'is, then what? Then the he took a case and he said Nechsai before Shvi'is. Then when it comes to Shvi'it, right, then Nechasimelu, when it comes to Shvi'is, you may eat you may not eat the fruits, but you can enter the field. Whereas when if you took it on Shvi'is, right, then you can.
It's Nechasimelu is referring to the parables.
Right.
Not right, because it wasn't saying Nechasai.
Okay.
It was just being specific.
Okay, so that's the answer of the Gemara. But now we run into one problem which we haven't solved yet. What's the one problem that we haven't solved yet? Is that why can't you enter the field? Right, because we said that even though the land remains yours, you do have permission from the Torah to enter the field. So with regards to entering the field, that's no longer his right. Right, regionally we say that you're not allowed, when you make a nezah, you can't enter the field because it's nechasim. And Drisa Seregel is hanok. But over here, Jesus of the Regal does not belong to him anymore. Jesus of the Regal, the Torah says, there's Mufgar.
In which case he's done, we're taking Ender before.
Shvi'is, yeah.
Where he said what they're saying.
Nechasim Elu. Or even Nechsai. What's in his possession?
It would make a difference.
No,
because
the land remains in his possession. But.
No, but as the fruits, it makes a difference. Because if he said Nechsai Elu, then the fruits will remain lost.
Okay, say then therefore he wouldn't have the right to enter.
The only reason you have the right to enter is you're going to be able to get the fruits.
Okay.
So if there's no reason to get the fruits, if you're not allowed to get the fruits, then it would be understandable that you're not going to be allowed to enter the field.
All right, so now let's just, I want to look at one line in the Ron, and then we'll move over to this. Okay. If you look in the Ron, Bahashto, it's four lines down in the very wide lines in the Ron. Four lines down in the very, very wide lines in the Ron. Second word on the line, Bahashta. See that? Bahashta. Good. Bahashta, Achim, my sneeze and shop here, let me open the Mishlakish, could he eat up? Right? The Rabbi Shmuel, he eats of the Rabbi Shmuel, just like it works as well for Rabbi Shmuel. The Rabbi Yochanan Mishlakish, Nechasim Elu Mubilah. They're going to establish our mission as a case where he says, Nechasim Elu. Reisha Rabusa Kamashalan. The Reisha teaching us the Kiddush, the Apple P, Shahiki, Yashvius. Ain't no real raid, ain't no ukel. Can't go in and eat. The other most observer should be shuto, the shigi, it's a mershuto. The person can restrict something that's in his possession even when it leaves his possession. But Sefer Rabusa Kamashalan. Sefer teaches the Kiddush, the Imbishvius, Nadar, ain't no raid, the Toksadeu. And he still can't go into the field. The Kri Kamre, Rabbi Yochanan, the Nechsai Alayeth. I love the Muki Lala Masnisa Minachsai. They're not setting up the Mishnah in that way. The Rabbi Shmuel Kim Mahadri. They're answering Rabbi Shmuel and saying, wait, your principle that you're saying that it remains also in Shvi'is, it's only in a case where you say Nechasim Elu. But if you use the word Nechsai, then it only is also before Shvi'is, but once Shvi'is comes, it is Mutar. But not that we're explaining the Mishnah this way. We're remaining and explaining the Mishnah.
Rabbi Shmuel agrees with that also.
Right, that's correct.
Okay.
There happens to be that there is another Girsa in the Mishnah. I'm not going to get involved. There's no reason to confuse anybody here. All right, there's another Girsa in the conclusion here that he has to explain, but I'm not going to. I don't think it's worthwhile. All right. So the issue that we have left is this problem, why can't you enter the field? You have a right to enter the field, min ha-Torah. Therefore, that's not in his possession anymore. It's not in his possession anymore. Why should there be an Isra Hanah on your ability to enter the field? Right? When you take the nether on Shviz, but you say the fruits are mutar, because it says Nechsai, my possessions are only my possessions. What's my possession? One, the field belongs to me, and the fruits do not belong to me. But what, does your right to walk in there belong to me? No, that belongs to the Torah. Now the Torah says that's Mufkar to you, and you're allowed to walk into my field. So where's the problem? So this is the last question in the Gemara. She's in a Yoreh the Toksdeo, Maishna the Ochamina no Tot, to Peri Hadev Kerininun. Why can you eat from those that hang over in Shushazar Abim? Because the parents are Hefker. Right? Inun Arin Ami Afkara. The Torah also was Mapkir your land for the right to walk into it. So Amar Ulav Omdi Milanos Alag Bulim. That's a case where the trees are standing on the borders. Why does it matter if the trees are standing on the border? Because therefore you have the ability to get to the fruits without entering his field. If you have the ability to get to the fruits without entering his field, then entering his field is unnecessary. If it's unnecessary and you do enter his field, then you are violating the nether. Because your right to enter the field on Shviz, this is what Shaul was suggesting, is only to get access to the fruits. If you don't need to get into access to the fruits through entering his field, then you do enter his field anyway, then you're getting Hanoah from him. And again, the Torah affords you access rights to get to your fruits. Your fruits are the perishable fruits are Hefker. So you get access rights to that. If you can access the fruits without entering the field, then accessing the field is, right, unnecessary. If it's unnecessary, then you violated the net. That's one possibility. Rav Shimon and Eliyakim, someone we saw before, Amar, Nezera, Shema Yishaheh, Be'amita. We saw this earlier with Beaker Cholim. Right, they quoted Rav Shimon and Eliyakim from over here. Why can't you sit? Shema Yishaheh. Maybe you'll sit too long and get benefit from sitting there. So over here, too, you may stand there longer than necessary. What does that mean? You only have rights to stand in there to get your fruits and get out. What happens if he picks his fruits and hangs out a little bit? You know, starts to eat a couple of pieces of fruit.
Nice and shady.
Right, so the fact that you remain in the field too long will be what? Will be a violation of the nether. It's a violation of the nether. So the Gemara asks a simple question. So you can't. That's what he's saying. That's Xera. Even though the Torah entitles you, we don't let you go because we're afraid you're going to stay longer than you're entitled. You stay longer than you're entitled, you buy the letter and say you don't go at all.
Right?
Yeah. Right, that's what Cheryl was saying before, right? Get the fruits, you can throw them out to the person on the outside. The fruits are still are mutar. It's just a question of entrance. Now, the Ron just points out, what's the difference? How come we said by Bikur Cholim that you can go standing? You're allowed to give him do Bikur Cholim standing up, but you can't do Bikur Cholim be yeshiva. Why? Shema yishahe. Maybe he'll remain there. So the Ron, this is the Ron's opinion. This was not necessarily the opinion of others over there. The other Rishonim said that, what's the difference? Amida is not a real Hana, therefore you're not really benefiting him, whereas yeshiva is a very big mana, and that is restricted by the nether. The Ram said, no. What's the difference between standing and sitting? It's heker. If you're going into Bikur Cholim while you're standing, that's not the normal way to be Bikur Cholim. Since you're standing, you're going to remember. It's a hekera that you're going to have to leave. So in fact, if you stand, you'll know that you're not going to stay too long. If you sit down already, you lose that perspective and you won't leave. So now what's he going to do over here? Why don't we say the same thing? By Paris is if you go down and sit down in the field, then that's restricted. But if you walk in, why isn't that a heker that you shouldn't be able to stay too long because you're standing? So Ron says the cases are totally different.
Right. Normal way.
Very good. Excellent. That's exactly what the Ron says. Ron says that when you go to do Bikur Cholim, the normal way to do Bikur Cholim is to sit down, spend time with the Cholet. If you stand, that's out of the ordinary. It's extraordinary to do it in such a manner. If it's extraordinary, that'll be the heck care. Because when you go to pick fruits, the normal way to pick fruits is to walk in, stand up, and pick fruits. You don't sit down to pick fruits. You stand up and pick fruits. So therefore, standing in the field it's in of itself is not a heck care to leave the field. And therefore, we make the zera, even when you're standing in the field, not to enter the field because you may stay too long. So that's the last line of the Mishnah. We'll stop here because the next Mishnah is basically into Shabbos' stuff.